Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe the Rooster Russo.
Yeah, here come the Rooster. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back and thanks for listening. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. Anthony Rendon's going to join us. And the manager of the Nationals, Davey Martinez, will be with us on a Tuesday. We're going to paint the show red for the race for a red October. The Nats wildcard berth is on The Fan, presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. But right now, Chris Russell joins us in studio. Just when you think things can't get any worse,
I step in.
The Redskins go to the Meadowlands. Yeah. They fall to 0-4. They lose by 21 to the Daniel Jones-led Giants. Next up, New England.
Disgusting, putrid, awful, horrible, embarrassing, a nightmare. I don't know what other adjective you want to use. That was dreadful. I was so demoralized by halftime of that game yesterday. I literally had to force myself to watch parts of the second half because I was trying to deny myself from what real, actual NFL football looks like. And that's on both sides. Both
honestly, and I'm not exaggerating, this was the first time I can remember in my life where I had the remote in my hand, and I always flip over to like Red Zone during the commercial.
Yeah. What if I stay for a little
and
bit?
And it was hard for me to get, and I'm not joking.
Yeah. What if I just...
I almost missed, like, I don't miss a play of a Redskins game, haven't since I was a kid. I almost said, you know what, I can miss this drive. And I didn't, but I thought about it.
The only thing that made me continue to flip back was Haskins. That's it.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that was the only intrigue, and it was... half sideshow and half, well, maybe he will give them a spark. And, well, it was a little bit of both, but a lot of sideshow.
So let me try it this way. They lost to three teams that are ultimately, we're right, figuring out, are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Philadelphia, I know they're banged up, right, but great showing at Green Bay. That's a team with a higher ceiling. Dallas is pretty damn good, I think.
Despite last night, absolutely.
And the Bears just shoved it on a Minnesota team that started pretty well. So presumably, let's just say three good teams. I know they got the doors blown off early against Chicago, but there were still some positives. Mm-hmm. There were okay showings in those first three. Yeah. This is the worst team they've played, and this was their worst showing.
Absolutely.
What does it mean, big picture, for this coaching staff, this regime, these guys? That to me looked like a tune-out. It looked to me like we're going to rally the troops one time and change the ship. Oh, my God, we just struck something.
Yeah, I don't know if they quit. I don't feel comfortable saying that. I don't know if they didn't give a bleep, but they sure as heck played like it. If that makes sense, right? I mean, that's what it looked like. When Jay Gruden, and I understand he's trying to protect the kid, mm-hmm, when he's trying to run the ball three times in the middle fourth quarter down 24-3 from inside his 10-yard line, not just on first and second down because you're trying to protect the kid, but because the kid has literally no idea how to play the position at this level on third down, it's just absurd. That tells you everything you need to know.
So the play calling to me screamed, Jay Gruden is not in on Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Gruden is not in on Dwayne Haskins.
We got to get out of here with this kid being healthy. Yeah.
The fact that he has not climbed the depth chart screams that. The fact that he never got a chance to win the job, although as we now know, he probably wouldn't have been able to anyway. But all of those things point to what I've known since the draft, what you've known since the draft. Mm. Jay Gruden won the Dwayne Haskins guy. Dan Snyder, whose son went to high school with Dwayne Haskins, was a Dwayne Haskins guy. Jay Gruden was a Daniel Jones guy and got made fun of for it. And Daniel Jones, to this point, looks pretty good. Doesn't matter. He went 9 picks before the Redskins anyway. But I guess the question comes back to now, what's next with Haskins? What do you do this week? What do you think they'll do?
Well, I don't put Dwayne Haskins in there against Bill Belichick.
Are you on
Patriots.
Danny's plan to give him first team reps?
I understand what you're trying to get at. I'm more with you, and maybe
this is radio.
Meaning you, Grant.
Okay, so
I'm sorry. I said I understand where Danny's coming from.
Yes.
You'd ideally like to get him more work, but I'm with you in that it's virtually
impossible
to get him. Now, The one thing I will continue to point out, I think I said this to you guys last week, is you can get better as a backup quarterback, as a first-round quarterback, as a developmental guy, without taking first-team practice reps. You can get better mentally, positionally, fundamentally,
playing scout a first-team defense,
learning in the meetings, talking, working extra with different receivers and extra things. I mean, hell, who was it? I saw a quarterback 3 hours after the game yesterday. I forget which quarterback it was, working with the damn quarterback coach. Oh, it was the somebody in Houston. I care not Deshaun Watson, but somebody was working on the field 3 hours after a game with the quarterback. You can do things.
It was Deshaun Watson.
To get, was it? Okay.
It was.
You can do things to get better, right?
Do you like that bit, by the way? If that's real and authentic, then I think I love that guy more than anyone I've ever loved. I might be the most cynical jerk ever. It always just reeks to me of like...
Hey, camera guy, come here, watch this.
Yeah, like there's obviously reporters in the press box still, and you're just like, you can almost see the tweet when you walk out there.
Screams
like,
RG3 a little bit, doesn't it?
It 100% does. Like, I'm shocked he never did that. Yeah. Robert's out there right now working after the game.
He did it after practice, remember?
So, I remember, with his dad. Watson so much, so I believe it because I'm a sucker.
But do you see what I'm saying at all?
Of course I see what you're saying.
It felt like, and maybe I'm just a jerk, but it did feel like...
But,
no one cares more than Deshaun Watson. It's like the other guys care too. They just happen to be going home after the game.
Would we all agree, big picture, that yes, he would benefit from more practice time, but that because the CBA and the realities of the work week in the NFL prohibit it or limit it severely, is there other ways to improve yourself and get better? And I absolutely believe yes to that question.
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge. Real quick, why is this defense so bad? Whose fault is it? You're a players over coach guy, right? They got good players. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to side with Minuski on this standpoint. Not that he's a good defensive coordinator, is they don't have any communication, and he told that to the Fox guys, and that's been a problem for years now. And I thought it was going to get fixed to some degree with Ray Horton and Landon Collins. It is worse than ever. And then on top of that, the penalties, some injuries earlier in the year have affected lack of pass rush, but the penalties and the lack of communication, particularly yesterday, but really the lack of communication overall has absolutely sucked.
Chris Russell, boys and girls, thank you, Slashy.
Thank you, guys.
Much appreciated. Grant and Danny with you on the fan. Was there anything positive that can be carried out of last night's loss and game? And is there anything that gives you any hope against the New England Patriots, who did offensively play their worst game in a couple of years?
The Bills D is for real, man.
That Bills defense is the truth. Grant and Danny on the fan.
Five coming after Jones, and he underthrows it again, and for a second time, it's Dunbar and picks it off. So after two touchdown drives for the Giants, it's now back-to-back drives ending on interceptions thrown by Daniel Jones.
Well, Quentin Dunbar is stepping up to the challenge because Shepard is a tough cover, gets on his hip and undercuts the route. And again, with that ball is late, as you see, Dwayne Haskins is now going to come into the ball game for the Washington Redskins.
Things didn't get better, but at least Quentin Dunbar picked off that pass.
That time.
Dunbar, two picks yesterday. He's got to be their best corner, right? He certainly makes the most plays of any of their corners.
When available, he's now about a 50-50 guy in terms of his availability. It's going to be a mystery injury that we never saw. Crops up on the injury report. Isn't available Thursday for the walkthrough for some reason, and then it lasts for 6 weeks. The Redskins medical staff, everybody.
That is Dunbar's MO, though, at this point, is when he's on the field, he makes a play or two. Pretty physical. Does a good job.
What I'm about to say isn't fair.
And then he just won't play for a while.
I'm going to say something that's not fair. Your professional sensibilities will be annoyed. Stay with me here for a second. Redskins fans, I think football fans in general, when you see an injury on the field and a guy has to come off the field and then you find out after the fact he's out for a while, that's much easier to stomach than he gets through the game, there seems to be no problem, and the next thing you know, the McLaurin injury out of nowhere, right? It's so much more frustrating when you didn't see it happen and just somehow just mysteriously shows up in the injury report and next thing you know, the guy's not available for 6 weeks. Jamison Crowder, a million other guys it's happened to. I know it's not better when a guy gets hurt in front of my eyes. It's all bad. I don't want any injuries to happen. But I'm telling you, for some reason, it's so much more frustrating when it's this like phantom thing that we never saw anything happen. And it's just now, by the way, their best receiver can't go. Ta-da! There, back to you.
You know who else had a good game yesterday?
Who's that?
Other than Dunbar, who has the mystery injury coming, maybe.
It's coming.
According to the Danny diagnosis. I thought Tim Settle played well.
He had that one really vicious hit.
Yeah, he did, on the interception.
Right? Oh, it was on the pick. That's right.
Yes,
yeah, that's right.
And he also had a forced fumble in the books on one of the two fumbles by a tailback.
Good for you,
Tim Settle.
A couple
other games, just to real quick throw some love out there. My Cleveland Browns looked like they were supposed to look coming into the season
yesterday. Big week for Paulson's Browns.
40-25, they beat the Ravens. Nick Chubb, well over 100. Baker Mayfield, well over 300. He was outstanding. And Baltimore suddenly has lost two in a row, two interceptions yesterday for Lamar Jackson. The issue for me with the Ravens is going to be, and has been, if they can play from in front, game script-wise, I think they're going to be lethal. That's an injection that you cannot survive. You're dead in the water. You're done. If they get behind and they got to throw it, and you know Lamar Jackson has to throw it, that's a very different, more beatable team, and you saw it yesterday.
What I'm stunned by is what happened to the Ravens' defense. Kansas City puts up 30-some points on you. Guess what? They're doing that to the next team, the team after that, and they'll do it all the way to the AFC title game. Cleveland ringing the bell for 40 after, you know, some offensive struggles at various points really surprised me. I mean, Nick Chubb still running, by the way. He would go Forrest Gump out the gate if that was allowed. He ran out of real estate, had to go 80-plus yards to the end zone. I don't know what happened to the Ravens' defense yesterday. That's, to me, the stunner, but you're right. That's the formula for them. If they got to be behind, it's not going to look as nice. Talking about the Ravens.
Nick Chubb, 165 yards and 3 touchdowns to lead the way. They just ran all over Baltimore. Nobody saw it coming, including an 88-yard rumble.
First and 15. Chubb. Chubb with running room. Chubb to the 40. On his way to the end zone. 88 yards. And if you hadn't noticed, Nick Chubb has a second gear.
The Patriots won in Buffalo. Grant's Best Bish doesn't come through. I took them -7. 16-10 final. The Bills hanging around thanks to what is really one of the better defenses now in football. I think it's been proven. Josh Allen was terrible, or they could have won. 153 yards, no touchdowns, 3 picks at a rating of 24. Less completions than incompletions in the game. And meanwhile, Tom Brady wasn't much better.
No.
He threw for 150 without a touchdown and a pick. Everybody in the passing game was quiet. The only guy catching balls for the Patriots was James White, checkdown style, 8-for-57 on 10 targets. This was as ugly and just defensive-laden a game as you'll find. In a weird way, even though Buffalo falls to 3-1 and the Patriots improve to 4-0, I think I feel better about the Bills after that contest.
Yeah, I do too, because that defense is the truth. Now, you can defend the Bills, as we've kind of seen here, with a good, smart defense. You can make it tough on them. But to me, the story is what they did to Brady. Brady's average completion traveled just 2.9 yards in the air, by far and away the shortest of any quarterback in week 4. So even an offense predicated on short, efficient passing, this was even more so. They couldn't get any big plays. I think you saw why New England, by the way, maybe internally self-diagnosing, was like, yeah, we'll give this Antonio Brown thing a chance. Because I think they deep down know that this might be their weakness.
Possibly. I mean, they've played 4 games, and 3 of them look nothing like that.
Right.
And 2 of those were not Antonio Brown-involved games. But you're right. We've now seen them look bad enough in one game that if you play like that against one of the good teams in the playoffs, you get eliminated. One of those teams they might play in the postseason is the Chiefs. They survived a scare to get to 4-0, like New England. Seems like a collision course for those two teams atop the AFC. Detroit's pretty frisky. 2-1-1 now, their first loss of the year. They led the Chiefs in a game that was back and forth throughout the day and including in the fourth quarter before Kansas City, with 20 seconds left on a one-yard Damian Williams touchdown run, took the lead. Pat Mahomes held off the touchdown board. That never happens. Threw for 315, 7-for-85 to Kelsey to lead the way. They couldn't really run the ball. LeSean McCoy, the leading rusher, 11-for-56. Meanwhile, the Lions controlled tempo. Kerryon Johnson, 26-for-125. Matt Stafford, 291-3. They got 77 from Marvin Jones, 67 and 2 scores from Kenny Golladay. But the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, as always, 60 minutes ends, and they won.
It shows how you fight through adversity. I mean, it wasn't just the offense, it wasn't just defense, it wasn't just special teams. It was as a whole, we just found ways to pick each other up whenever the other was struggling. And so, I mean, in this league, it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be 50 points and three touchdown wins, you're going to have to find a way to win these games against great teams. And so for us, we know that this win of not playing our best football and finding a way to win is going to help us tremendously as we get to the end of the season.
You think we learned more about the Lions or the Chiefs yesterday?
Lions. The Chiefs, here's what we know. They're not good at stopping the run. Their response will be, so? So what?
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck. I mean, they remind me of those Peyton Manning Colts teams where they had two bookend defensive ends that got upfield every play. You want to run for 4.5 against us, that's great. When we get it back, we're scoring. You're going to have to throw eventually. That's how Kansas City's built at this point. They don't care if you run the ball. You can run into some danger when you get a game like this where Detroit was leading. They score first. We're up, I think it was either 13-0 or something close approximation. Detroit moved the ball against them. Matt Stafford was really good, spread the ball around, a bunch of different receivers. They're better than I thought they were. Credit to you for nailing that, by the way, in the preseason. That was a team that you pegged.
I cannot yet take credit. I want to let this ride. I'm not sold just yet, but so far they have been.
Through 4 weeks, I thought decent. They'd be garbage, and they're not.
We'll get into some more games as we continue here on Grant and Danny. Also got to take a good look at the Nats and the Brewers before we end the show today. Grant and Danny with you, 106.7 The Fan. The Redskins are 0-4. Probably going to be 0-5 after Sunday. What would you change if you could make a change? You're listening to The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was talking to a football person last week. This was before the Redskins lost by 21 to the Giants.
This is pre that.
I can live with losing to the Eagles in Philly. I can deal with getting outclassed by the Cowboys at FedEx. I can even tolerate a Monday Night Football setback at the hands of a Bears team that might make the playoffs for the second time in two seasons. Although trailing 28-0 to Mitch Trubisky stings the nostrils.
Doesn't make those things fun to watch, but I get you.
Can't really enjoy that too much. Your throat feels like you just drank too much Coke too fast, that kind of deal.
The sting.
Just burning.
A little reflux.
However, can't abide the 21-point loss to the Giants. Mm-mm. But before that game, I was talking to this person who's a former executive in the National Football League, and they say, what do you think Jay's going to well, Bruce is going to do? What's Dan going to do? So Jay goes, and then what? How can they possibly win the fans back over? And my contention is that it might be too late, but I ask you that, Danny. I mean, what can they possibly do at the end of the year? They have drafted a rookie quarterback, and it seems like gotten almost no energy out of it.
No juice from it at all, by the way.
That first-round quarterback bounce you normally get when people are at your training facility for training camp in Richmond cheering and chanting his name didn't really happen.
There was no energy in the preseason for it. There's no energy in training camp for it. And we even talked about this.
He played in his first game yesterday and threw three picks, and people are for some reason upset that he played, but they want him to start. It's very New York Giants, Daniel Jones. We hate him, but we need him to play, but then we hate him again, and now we love him.
What should be happening is every story, every day should be about how close is he, when is he ready, how good is he, what's the future. That's this season. Instead, it's about other stuff. No one cares that they got the rookie quarterback. That was the idea, by the way. That's probably why Dan and Bruce in their ivory tower in between adult drinks and cigars said, this will get them back. This is what we'll do. Let's do that.
Okay,
and then
but that meeting, when they go, this will do it. It was a butts in seats pick. They took Dwayne Haskins. He saw him in high school at Bullis. He decided it was going to happen.
He tore up St. Stephens. We better get him.
Trade up to four, they would have done it. If they had to trade up to four because he beat DeMatha that one time. I probably didn't beat DeMatha.
May have.
He may have.
Nice game against Georgetown Prep.
But he certainly pummeled St. Albans.
Every time. beat the pants off of Landon, too.
And Snyder watched him beat Landon in St. Albans and said, this is the guy. We got to go get him. And so if they had to trade up, they were going to. And luckily they stayed put at 15 and they grabbed him. But what's the next play? I don't think hiring Mike McCarthy does that.
It doesn't get the buzz.
I don't think hiring... I'm just trying to even pick someone who might be out of a job at the end of the year that's a quick turnaround, exciting name.
So here's
the only thing I could see is if they give a John Gruden contract to someone, 10-100.
Like a Dabo or a Lincoln?
Dabo, Lincoln, Riley, and then at least then, I always try to think about my brother. Because my brother on text chains is volatile, right? He is like as high as can be sometimes on like Terry McLaurin, and he's as low as can be sometimes on the whole operation. But it takes one big Sunday, and he's right back to feeling like they got a shot to run the table. I think if they have a press conference to introduce Dabo Swinney or Lincoln Riley or one of the best hotshot Saturday coaches, even though eventually it probably won't work and they'll be run out of there too.
No way it would work.
I think that would invigorate the fan base.
It might be a little
bit. Is there another trick up their sleeve?
So now this would go to your theory that if they S-can Bruce Allen, which again, I don't think it's going to happen. Let's say you're right. It happens at the end of the season. You go get someone that people have seen on television. Right? The next Mayock. So it's Lewis Riddick. It's Daniel Jeremiah. It's one of these guys that's on television talking about draft picks who looks good in a suit and is very handsome. And he's going to talk about all the right things. We want football players. We want guys that love football. We want love of football to be the thing that loves them. And then they love it back. And they see in the eyes of the face of the heart of the man next to you. And football, football, football. And then people will get excited.
You think would get jacked up for that?
I think maybe. Just because they recognize him. It's the same pathology that says, we got cornerback problems, so go get Daryl Green to coach him up. We can't rush the passer. Get Charles Mann out there. It's that same thing. I've seen him, therefore he can coach. Therefore he's good at this. To me, I think they're insulated boobs, talking about Dan and Bruce. And I think they think that firing Jay is enough. I think they think, watch, we'll get him back. They know once he's gone, we'll go get the next guy. Maybe it's the hotshot Kevin O'Connell. People will be excited because he's a young coordinator. We can just tell people he's the next Sean McVay. We'll go on the media tour for 5 minutes and then go back into our boroughs.
So the first move I think that you make that jacks up the fan base is you get rid of Bruce, and that's why he'll be out. You fire Bruce, and you're going to get
right, by the way,
a huge jolt and juice worth of excitement from this fan base. Then comes the question of what do you do next? And I could see you go with, say, like, I'll just name Lewis Riddick, right? Mm-hmm. Some new GM, football person, and then they hire a head coach, and let's say it's Todd Bowles, okay? Maybe because it's a new GM and a new head coach, you can paint the picture that things are going to be different, and Dan Snyder says, I'm going to sit it out and let Lewis Riddick run this thing from the ground up. And maybe you get some fans to buy in on the fact that Bruce is gone. A lot of people don't like Jay. He's gone. And there's a new GM and a new head coach, and everything's going to be different. I don't think that would be Gibbs is coming back, Shanahan being hired, levels of excitement. But maybe it would be enough to move the needle just a little bit going into next year where you have a full season of Haskins with the new head coach and the new GM. Not that, by the way, Bowles was a good head coach, or that Riddick necessarily would be a good GM. David in Pennsylvania, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
What's up, buddy?
Great.
I just think that a couple of the positives are that, you know, Dwayne Haskins' floor looked like Case Keenum's ceiling yesterday. So I think that's a positive you can look forward in the near future. But as far as getting fan base juiced up, I think everybody's almost too, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Even if you do all those new GMs and new head coaches and stuff, I think everybody's like getting Alex Smith. It was like, yeah, kind of false hope for 6 wins. And then he gets hurt, and now it's like, well, we kind of expected that. It's the Skins.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of us are just too smart now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are over it. Most of us, when they went and got Alex Smith, said, I know what you're doing. You're doing everything you can to avoid going 5-11 and looking dumb for some of your offseason decisions a year ago.
And you want to look sharp because you didn't want that Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, you're going to save a couple jobs.
You want a winner, and you went and got a guy that just wins.
There were some people that clapped like seals and screamed about Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there were some, I'm sure, when they drafted Dwayne Haskins who thought Super Bowl. We had a guy calling, I think, a week ago and said they were going to go 11-5 and make the playoffs. You're always going to have a few, but I don't think you're trying to market to them.
Yeah, the rank and file, don't think that way anymore.
I think there's like a huge collection of people that you're trying to get to buy in.
Yeah, that huge mass that's in the middle, quote unquote, they're people that are out that won't come back.
They're like the independents in a campaign.
Right. I mean, it's a big part of this mining town that's just one main street.
There's someone standing at a touchscreen saying that we still haven't had our votes cast.
Yeah, John King is circling this district.
Right.
What you're trying to do is sell them something. And these people have been tired of buying that thing. They tried to sell them LaFamina, McLuhan. They tried to sell them, you know, Griffin, this, that, and the other. Nothing has worked. people are tired of investing and then getting burned on the investment. Like, I don't know if Jason Bishop's about to go invest in another condo in Ocean City anytime soon because it hasn't gone great for him. You know what I mean? People get tired of that.
I'm just going to tell you right now, though, I don't have another one of these in me, these four-hour dissections of a terrible game. Like, they're going to get pummeled by the Patriots next week, and I pray to God the Nats are in the playoffs and advance past the Brewers and are playing the Dodgers because I can't do these money more weeks. I mean, I don't know if people care enough. It's exhausting. It's the same old act every week. You got an owner who gives you no chance, a president who has no idea what he's doing, and a head coach who seems to be a dead man walking.
Other than that, their best player won't play for them because he hates them. Your quarterback you're paying $20 million to has a broken leg, may never play again, and Jordan Reed is permanently concussed.
Hey, is Independence, Kansas, is that where our show is from?
Yeah.
Right? Dude, there's big news in Independence, Kansas right now.
What is it?
This is from, looks like the local TV station. A cougar is on the loose in a Kansas town after escaping from a zoo Monday morning. The cougar escaped from Riverside Park and Ralph Mitchell Zoo. Park officials and local law enforcement are searching the area.
Oh, no.
Police said citizens should take extreme caution, and if you see the cougar, do not approach and immediately call 911. At this time, we're encouraging the public to avoid the area. Can you imagine being mauled by a cougar?
No.
I mean, it would feel a little bit, for Jay Gruden, like yesterday's game was, probably.
Well, you'd be mauled by a cougar, and then, like, drab t-shirt would say it's not that big a deal because cougars aren't that fearsome.
Yeah, I hope it's a big enough cougar to gain some respect. Because
to qualify for drab's threshold.
We all know if you choked out a cougar that was only 114 pounds, then it wouldn't be that impressive.
Yeah, the mountain cat was starving. It's not that big a deal. The guy heard it.
Unbelievable.
Unreal.
Never forget that.
You know what
happened.
You did, Drab? Coming to see in a second.
176 net yards for the Redskins yesterday. 3.7 per play. 8 first downs. They scored 3 points. They threw 4 interceptions. When the show ends in a handful of minutes, we are headed over to Nationals Park for media workout day. Davey Martinez just met with reporters. A couple of nuggets to pass along. Kurt Suzuki will be available and will start tomorrow. And Davey Martinez said he is leaning toward having an extra bench player rather than an extra reliever on his roster that has to be in tomorrow morning for the wild card game.
All makes sense to me. Suzuki and Scherzer. Scherzer's season really took off when Suzuki started to catch him pretty much full time. You worry about the running game a little bit because the Brewers can steal bases. They're a good speed team like the Nationals are, quite frankly, when you think of Turner and Eaton and Robles to a degree. But I'd rather have that receiving presence in there, who Scherzer's been more comfortable with. The numbers bear that out. And Suzuki hadn't missed a beat at the plate. Came back and hit third yesterday and hit a bolt. That guy can swing it. A big swing for you is coming from Kurt Suzuki in that ballgame, probably.
Yeah, you'd like to hope so. And whether he is hitting up closer to the middle of the lineup like he was yesterday with the B lineup or down toward the bottom, he's been impactful, catches Max Scherzer. What you need in that play-in game and what you always need in a wild card game, really, first and foremost, is a good quality start to get you going. If you have a small, minimal lead late, you're going to want your bullpen to shut down and slam the door. But you're just going to have to bring good wood, man. Brandon Woodruff's throwing. We've seen the Nats' bats go quiet in the playoffs in the past. That wasn't the case when they got eliminated by the Cubs. They actually scored plenty of runs and probably should have advanced based on their offense, and their pitching let them down. But in that one game, I just think scoring first becomes so pertinent. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. But you don't want to get tight. You don't want to start gripping the bat. If you fall behind, you know, say Scherzer gives up a first-inning solo homer or a walk and a home run, and it's 2-0 like in his last start.
Then all of a sudden.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you've spotted a team two. You got outscoring by 3 the rest of the way. And it just seems like they play very differently. I give this team credit to come back because I think they're more mentally tough. They've got a little bit more fortitude and some stones that teams before them didn't have. That's how they got off the mat at 19-31. I'm not sure that some of the Nats teams in the past were mentally strong enough to have done that. But you just don't have to worry about it. Even if it's a close game, it'll be excruciating. It'll be a gut punch with every pitch if it's 0-0, 1-1 the entire way. But you don't want to be chasing the game in a do-or-die, must-have elimination game.
Because you let Craig Counsell dictate it. He's going to play chess over there. And that's what that guy
does. I don't
want
to see Josh Hader in like the eighth inning. Although, did you see that he was on the mound?
Yeah.
They had a chance to tie the Cardinals. And if they did, they could have forced a game 163 today. This was on Saturday night, game 161 for them. Mm-hmm. They were one game back of St. Louis, who had already lost. They were down to their final out. There were two outs in Colorado at Coors Field. The Rockies were batting. Hader was on, and he gave up a solo homer. So they gave up an eighth-inning home run to Ian Desmond. Thanks for your help, Desi. They gave up a ninth-inning solo home run and then a walk-off home run to Trevor Story in the 10th to lose that game. And really, that's why, more than anything else, the Brewers didn't catch the Cardinals.
Absolutely. That's how it went down. Pretty good summary. I mean, so, by the way, if I was the Brewers, I would start Zach Davies, who throws about 47 miles an hour. And, you know, think about the Nats getting tight in the postseason.
I wish they would, by the way.
Do you really?
Oh, my gosh. I think they would. I think he'd throw batting practice.
Well, he's pitched against him effectively before. Anecdotally, it feels like that's the kind of guy that they just don't want to see in the postseason.
Kyle Hendricks trying
to do too much. But Woodruff is a strikeout guy. He's going to come after you. He's got.
I always fear stuff more than whatever.
Which I totally get.
Davies is.
I totally get. Yeah, Davies is not a stuff guy. Davies is a. No, go ahead. Come on, you can hit it. Come on. Swing hard.
No margin for error. It's like Gio. Same thing.
Truthfully.
Like Gio could come out of the pen. And by the way, he very well will
probably
pitch
will by
tomorrow.
The way.
Waiting on that pitch. Could very easily come out of the pen and throw in the game. If he did,
you're going to see it.
Then what? I mean, he's going to, what, throw three scoreless or they're going to rock him?
Who knows?
Show me that TV. I think that would be an amazing story.
Nats fans, by the way, generally, I know you're going to laugh at me when I say this, are super polite and welcoming and respectful to former players. There's a Bryce Harper corollary that's kind of an exception, I would say. But in general, if you achieved here at any point, you get a really nice, wonderful ovation. I wonder how Gio's going to be greeted, though. Because remember, Ian Desmond, years after he left, gets a standing O. Wilson Ramos, playing for the Mets, gets an ovation. You know, Steven Souza gets an ovation. Everybody that did anything at any point in time usually is treated very well. Gio, I don't know, because people got so frustrated with him in the postseason. If he toes the rubber in, like, the third and ends up shoving it on the Nats, they'll be the ultimate irony.
I think he'd get some love.
He would at first,
for sure.
I think, yeah.
But tomorrow's going to be a blast. We will be covering the Nationals and the wild card game, the first ever of its kind here in D.C. A win-and-you're-in playoff game all day on the show. You'll hear from Davey Martinez and Anthony Rendon. Of course, it's been fun chatting Redskins and NFL today. Fun's probably not the right word.
It happens.
It's been necessary doing that. It's been, I suppose, worthwhile and cathartic in some ways. Hopefully one of these weeks we will do a Victory Monday show. This week was not that week, obviously. By the way, this is devastating news, just hot off the presses from Adam Schefter. Broncos linebacker Bradley Chubb was one of my favorite players in the league. Out for the year with a torn ACL.
Ugh, yuck.
Which stinks. That defense is fun to watch, and he's a great young player. It's been a enjoyable show. Thanks for the feedback on the phones and on Twitter. As always, much appreciate you guys listening. Tomorrow, spread the word to Nats fans. Nats from start to finish, including Rendon and Martinez.
We are the shield that guards the realms of men, and we are over.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.